Session number 22083, Reel 2.
Prior to, you mentioned 1938, when things started to really look grim, what knowledge did you have of Hitler, for instance, up until that point?
None. No, zero. I don't think I ever...
So what was it about 1938 that made you start to think about...
There was rumblings of war, I think they'd just taken over in Sudetenland, and I was very friendly with a First World War chap, and he said the signs were all there. He said they're going to fight, and that's the first I became aware of it. And
do you remember anything about Chamberlain coming back with
his paper? Yeah. There's a lot of people condemned him, but I thought he probably saved the situation at the time. It didn't look too good on paper, but he did give the give England a chance to do a bit of building up that they would have otherwise missed out on.
You mentioned that you had this friend from the First World War that said all the signs were there. What was the level of concern within the Boulder community of the possibility of war at that time, do you think?
Oh, I don't think there was... nobody thought very much about it. Life just went on the same as usual. 1938, the Goldfields was out of the Depression. Everybody was working. Money was better up there than it was ever in Perth. I think you... when I first started work in the mines, I was getting 14 and 10 pence a shift. And in Perth, I think the basic wage was about £3.10. And there was a big difference there, although you couldn't compare the work in a mine with anything in Perth.
So you mentioned you weren't really thinking of joining up until the fall of France. What do you recall of the actual declaration of war?
Well, I can remember it as clear as though it was yesterday. I was sitting in the Boulder town hall, and there was a community concert. We used to have them every Sunday, a community concert. Sometimes the Mines Football Club, Mines Rovers Football Club, and the Boulder City Football Club would have a sort of a sing-song and a competition against one another. Sunday night at the concert, I was sitting in the hall when the message came through that we were at war with Germany. England had declared war on Germany, and of course, naturally, they just followed suit.
What was the general feeling at that meeting about that being told?
I don't really know. I think I was a bit subdued myself because I had no illusions about war. as I say, I didn't have any intention of joining the army. But when things started to get a bit sticky in Europe, I thought, well, it's going to come sooner or later, and if they don't do something about it, well, they'll eventually come here. So that's when I decided to join up.
Was there any pressure from your peers to join up at all?
No.
What was the general feeling in your family, for instance, there was when the declaration of war was announced? What was the response of your parents, for instance?
I don't think Mum was very happy, because she'd already lost two brothers in the First World War. And Dad never used to say too much at all. So,
what do you think the general acceptance of war, the level of the general acceptance of war was in the community? Had the First World War, now there was a second. To what degree was war something that just happened in life?
Well, I think it was. It was something that had been happening over the centuries, and I think most of them thought of it as a great adventure, you know, like just they were going to get a trip out of it. And but there was quite a few of them flocked in to join up as soon as the war was declared. In one way it was a good move, in another way it wasn't, because if they'd have got in, anybody that got in early and got established, well, they were pretty right. But I can remember on the parade ground in Northam, we had an English instructor, and it was the day the 2nd 28th Battalion was marching out for embarkation, and he looked around. He said, "You blokes might be lucky," he said, "but those blokes aren't going to be so lucky." I can remember that. He said, "Things are pretty crook. Well, when we first went in over Northam, we never had any guns or anything. We had wooden rifles and all that sort of stuff, you know, to train with."
What did he actually mean, regard the 2nd 28th not necessarily being very lucky?
Well, he had the idea that the war was going to go pretty rough at the beginning, which it did do, and strangely enough, the 2nd 28th Battalion went off en masse at Ruin Ridge. So whether he was psychic or not, I don't know.
There was this period from the declaration of war to the time that France fell where there was a sense of phony war, that nothing much was happening. In what way did that calm the situation here in Australia, do you think?
Oh, probably did. I think so. Well, I for one thought, well, with the British Navy and the British Air Force, the RAF and that, it won't last very long. But of course, things took a different turn altogether.
During that time, what sort of propaganda were you subject to?
Oh, nothing out of the ordinary, I don't think. I can't remember ever. Of course, there was always the call, join up and all that sort of business. But, when I did join up, I joined up in, I think it was April that France fell. I joined up then, and I wasn't called up until December.
1940, it was May 28th, Dunkirk, and then the Battle of Britain was occurring in July. When you mentioned you joined up, what was associated, what was your feeling toward who you would be fighting for?
So, well, I thought we'd be fighting for Australia, but because if things went bad in Europe, well, it was only a matter of time before they came here. And I thought it'd be better to fight them over in somebody else's country than to fight them here.
Was there still a strong sense of patriotism towards the mother country?
Oh, I think so, yeah, generally.
What degree was there a sense of empire?
Oh, well, we were brought up. We used to have it drilled into us for king and country, and because in those days it was England was sort of home to, well, everybody used to refer to England as the old country, so I think that's there was a great sense of loyalty amongst most of them, anyway.
Were your brothers old enough to consider going off to the war at this stage?
Oh, yeah. Well, my brother, Barney, the one younger than me, everybody that turned 21 in, was it 21? I forget exactly, but he was in the first intake of national servicemen. And he served his time, it was 6 months, I think, and then by then I was ready to go overseas, so he got me to claim him, and I claimed him, and we both went away, we both sailed on the Queen Mary, and we decided that we were both going to transfer to the 2nd 16th Battalion, where all our mates were. And
before we get to that point, what was the feeling when you said, I'm joining up in a family? What was the sense? What was the response?
Oh, well, there was no quibbling. I think they more or less expected it. I'm sure they did.
And your mother, having lost two brothers, what did she feel, do you think, about her son, wanting to go on?
Our mum was pretty hysterical. She never used to show her emotions much. You could see the feeling was there. I suppose she was sad to see it happening, but I don't think she'd have thought much of us if we didn't join up, sort of thing. So, 'cause she was a great on the empire stuff.
So tell us about joining up. What did it involve in Boulder?
Well, we had to go into Kalgoorlie. What are they called? Sort of barracks. The training barracks was in Cheatham Street in Kalgoorlie. We had to go in there and have a medical. And if you pass that, well, they put your name down and you just waited until you were called up. We thought we'd be in within, a fortnight or 3 weeks. Instead of that, it was about 6 months before. But I think it was because of the fact that we were working in the mines and gold was more important than going into camp, because they never had any guns or that for us to train with. And when we did start training, we trained on obsolete old Lewis guns. And then after we were in camp for a while, we'd become reinforcements for the 2nd, 4th Machine Gun Battalion. And we trained for 6 months on the Vickers machine guns. We went out on leave as reinforcements for the 2nd Force and come back as reinforcements for the 2nd 43rd, which was an infantry battalion.
How did that happen?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I think the powers that be decided at that time that they were going to mix all the battalions up. Like, instead of having the 28th and the 16th and the 11th from West Australia entirely, they started to mix them up. There was a few composite battalions that were formed in England with all states in it. And I think that the general opinion was that they were going to intermingle the states in each battalion so that if anything drastic did happen, well, there wouldn't be one complete battalion go off. Of course, it happened with the 28th.
Your initial training, how prepared did you feel for war, having to train with out-of-date machinery?
Well, it's hard to put together, I suppose. We never thought much about it. The Vickers was, we did most of our training on the Vickers, and that was a really good gun. There's no doubt about that. And a lot of the blokes that that went away with me that had trained on the Vickers, they went into the Vickers platoon in the battalion. Of course, each battalion had a platoon of Vickers machine gunners. So,
what of your other equipment?
We only had it. We finished up being issued with rifles, like a 303 and a bayonet. That's about all that we did have. Talk about obsolete equipment. I can remember a bloke in Tobruk. He was of German descent too, Ted Leckel. He used to cart a 6 foot crowbar around with him. And his idea was that if he got near a tank, he'd put the crowbar in the tracks, and that would stop the tank. That's how much equipment we had. And the boys' anti-tank rifle that we had, some of the blokes used to fire it from the shoulder, so that's how much power it had. So we were pretty poorly equipped.
When you signed up, did you understand what you were signing up to do?
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, I had no illusions about what it was going to be, but as it turned out, I don't think it was as bad as the First World War.
What was it that you actually had to sign? What did you have to sign to say that you would do?
We had to sign up to serve for the period of the war, and I think it was 12 months after, if it was necessary. I'm not too sure about that, but I know we had to sign up for the whatever length of time the war went.
Did you have any feeling about how long the war would be going for?
No, not really. I know that we weren't in camp very long, and some of the experts in Europe were saying that it could go for 10 years. I mean, they weren't far out. I don't think it's ever stopped, really.
Why do you think that?
Well, there's been trouble everywhere. there's the Korean War that followed that, and then there's the Vietnam War, and there was a Malay situation, and we've always been tied up in all those. I think the only one that England wasn't tied up in was the Vietnam War. I think they had more sense.
What was the feeling of leaving Boulder to go off to train?
I suppose there was a bit of regret, but my greatest fear when I joined up was the fact that I wouldn't be able to keep up with the other blokes. We used to read in the paper how they do so many miles marching a day in the Middle East and in the hot conditions and that, and I thought, I begin to wonder whether I could, but I found out I could keep up with the best of them and probably better than the rest of them, so.
What was the occasion like? Do you recall the day of leaving Boulder?
Well, we didn't actually know for sure that we were going. We had the feeling that it was pre-em leave, but you'd go out on leave and they'd say, oh, this will probably be the last time you'll see Boulder until you get back again, but that happened two or three times, so you never really knew when you were actually going until they put you on that train that took you to Fremantle and onto the wharf.
That's, did you have a chance to say farewell to your family and friends?
Oh, only in the normal course of, like we used to go up on leave, we used to get leave almost every weekend. When we first went into camp, we used to have to pay our fare up to Kalgoorlie, which was the amount of we were getting for a week, which was around about 30 bob, I think. And so to overcome that, some blokes used to climb up on the roof of the carriage until they got past Northam, and others would get in with some of the civilian passengers, and they'd hide us in their compartments until we got the other side of Northam, and then the military police would get off, and we could come out, and we'd be right then. And then they brought it down to a concession. We could get up there for 5 shillings, which was pretty good.
Before you were to leave Fremantle, what was the sense of sort of mateship that was developing?
Oh, well, strangely enough, the fellas that I went in to camp with, we got split up. Nearly all the Boulder blokes that I knew, they went into the 32nd Battalion. We all went away on the same ship, but it was a a bit of a letdown, you know, like to know that you were getting separated from your mates.
Up until that time, what sorts of discussions were you and your mates having about going off to war?
No, I don't think anybody ever mentioned it, really. There was no great amount of talk about it. I think everybody knew that at some time or other they were going to go, and that was it. No, I can't remember any great discussion about what was going to happen when we went. And
as the training developed, to what degree did you start to enjoy being a soldier?
I think almost right from the start. But it never ever worried me. It did some fellas, I know. they couldn't take the discipline. But it never worried me. I just went along with the course, and that was it. They used to, a lot of them used to grizzle about the food and that, but there was a lot of them, some young fellas that I know of, they reckon it was the best feed they ever had. Some of them have been living on rabbits for years, particularly blokes that come off the farms, you know, because the farms at that stage hadn't really come out of the depression.
As you drew nearer to leaving Australia, what was it that you had been hearing about the war elsewhere?
Only that things weren't going very good. Things were going against the British Army all around the globe, wherever they were.
What confidence did you have that you were going to change the situation?
Well, I never really thought about it. We were there to do as we were told. That's, I suppose if they'd have said jump through the hoop, we'd have jumped through the hoop. And that's about all there was to it. There was no... You can do this if you want to, or do something else if you don't want to. Once you got in the services, you were there, and you did exactly what you were told to do.
What was the feeling of being in this situation where you weren't really your own man?
Oh, I don't think there was any. Feeling of any kind, really. We just had to, as I said, we knew we were there to do what we were told, and we did it to the best of our ability. That's.
To what degree did you have this feeling of adventure, wanting to go out and see the rest of the world?
Yeah. I don't think I really thought much about it. I just... I was prepared to go, and wherever they sent me, or you sign up to go wherever you sent to go, and that was all about it. I don't think I was glad or unhappy or... I just took it out. It was just another job as far as I'm concerned.
So there was never a time when you were thinking possibly that you might never return?
No, I don't think that ever crossed my mind. There was one particular day that things were looking a bit sticky, and that was at Alamein, in the early part of Alamein, and I was wounded, and we were supposed to have been in to take our position at just about sunup, and it was still 8 o'clock, and I was still fighting, and I was wounded there, and I began to go through my mind what they did with wounded prisoners. That was the only time I ever had a bit of apprehension about the place, about what was going on. Yeah, we really got smashed up that day. I think there was one bloke out of each section walked out. And that was out of two platoons, and there's three platoons, three sections in a platoon, and six men and a corporal in a section, and there was only one out of each of the sections that were in the first assault on the German position. And how we got out of it, I don't know. I still don't know.
Where was that?
At a place called Ruizawat Ridge. That's how I think it was, Ruizawat Ridge. It was about 5 days before the second 28th went off at Roon Ridge.
Yeah.